This podcast definitely contains swearing words.
Hey there, this is Iggy Pop, and I just want to thank you for downloading the Rob Rouse podcast. If you can subscribe on iTunes, please do that, and leave some nice feedback on there. Give it a few stars, you know. Get us climbing up those charts. Anyway, I gotta go enjoy the podcast. I gotta take my shirt off.
Oh, I just banged the elbow on the corner of the piano whilst I was trying to do the introduction. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, that hurt. Right, let's just, hold on a sec. Let's just try and ride that out. Ow. It's episode 2 of the, oh, really? Oh, good God, that really hurt. Get it together. Episode 2 of the Rob Rouse podcast. Thank you so much for downloading episode 1. Ha, it still hurts. And thank you so much to Gaz Coombs for being such a brilliant guest. Thanks for your lovely feedback as well on the internet. You got in touch at Rob Rouse on Twitter and podcast at robrouse.com. And you left some nice feedback on the iTunes thing, which was very pleasant. So for my first kind of real foray into the internet, it was really nice. There were no dicks, which is good, isn't it? Which, not that I'm afraid of dicks. You know, I've been a stand-up for 16 years. You know, I can handle dicks. You know, I'm proud of myself. I mean, I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but I'm good at handling dicks. You know, I've had a lot of experience handling dicks up and down the country, and I've been lucky enough to handle dicks all around the world, if you must know. That's, you know, anyway, enough about me handling dicks. Today's episode features the fantastic comedian Tom Wrigglesworth. He's currently got a show on BBC Radio 4, as they call it,
And now on Radio 4.
It's called Tom Wrigglesworth's Hang-Ups. It's on at 6:30 every Wednesday night, and it's also on the iPlayer. If you're listening overseas, I imagine you can get round the iPlayer. You've probably worked it out. Delighted to find out from the first episode some people listened in Russia and Vietnam as well. There's New Zealand and Jersey, I think. Anyway, so Tom's on the show. Now, it's very exciting because Tom has just moved to literally a stone's throw away from where I live here in the Hill Villages, which is just brilliant. Another clown in the hills to play with. And it's also getting very cold at this time of year. So we've decided, me and my wife, after what was a crippling gas bill. Last Christmas, when I got the gas bill, I cried in front of my own children, destroyed the day. We've decided to get a wood burner and burn our way out of this economic hellhole. So we're chopping wood as fast as we can, but in order to chop it, you need to cut it down. In order to cut it down, you need a chainsaw. In order to assemble a chainsaw, you need another idiot to help you build it. So this is the Tom Wrigglesworth chainsaw debacle. Ooh, one more thing. This is recorded inside and outside and involves the sound of a chainsaw. So just so you know, I've tried to ride the volumes as best I can, but it might get very loud. And keep your feedback coming in to at Rob Rouse and podcast at robrouse.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Here's my podcast. I made it for you. Whoever you are, you can listen on the train or taking a bath. Or maybe when you're driving in your car.
There we go. I'll turn off the metronome. We don't need that, do we?
Yeah.
So there we go. That's our mark. Smashing.
That should sink everything.
Everything sinks, Tom. Well, we've mic'd the tits off this, Tom.
Yeah, yeah. You can't sigh in here, can you, without it being...
Everything. We'll get every nuance, every breath, every exhalation, every inhalation. How are you?
I am extremely well.
I've just necked the rest of your coffee.
That's fine.
That was strange. I'll make you another one.
Well, before we
First of all, the fact you've moved to this neck of the woods. Obviously, we're not going to give out any precise coordinates or addresses.
No, but moved. That's close enough for anyone to get
we'll
to.
We'll put beep over that.
Yeah.
We don't want people to know exactly where you live, Tom.
I moved to the north of England.
Yes. Into the hills areas.
There's no way you can get me no matter what.
In the Northern Alps.
Yeah. Put it this way. It is a location. I am within easy purchasing zone of Henderson's Relish.
Whenever you need to, you can get hold of some. Yeah. It's a great relish,
like,
isn't it?
Most shops sell it. And the best thing about Henderson's Relish, well, there are loads, but one great thing is that here and in the zone, every shop, even if it doesn't, like, even if it, like, the hardware shop probably sells Henderson's Relish.
Bearing in mind, some of our listeners, of course, I mean, could be listening as far away as Rotherham, maybe Luton, or potentially even Kuala Lumpur, Tom. Could you describe to them what Henderson's Relish is?
Henderson's Relish is a spicy sauce, really, that you add to stews, gravies, pies. I normally splash a bit liberally into a spag bol.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I almost put it in my tea.
If I can be completely candid, Tom, I frequently drink it straight from the spoon.
Yeah.
And if no one's looking, I'll just sup it straight from the bottle.
It's, you know what's weird, right? When I moved out of Sheffield, where I grew up, which was years ago, and for the last years and years whilst I've not lived there, I've always bought a bottle when upon going back to London or wherever I'm living, right? And I kind of thought I was the only one.
Yeah.
But it turns out that everybody in Sheffield, or expats that no longer live in Sheffield, do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, everyone in Sheffield does that. Everyone, like, it's like secret lemonade drinking. It's like everyone's actually addicted to Henderson's.
If they know someone's going home, bring some bottles back.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary. And the mad thing is, like I say, every shop sells it in the zone.
Yeah.
But the moment you cross the county line, they've never heard of it.
Yeah. you can't get it. Can't get it for love nor money.
And I loved that. Do you remember a bit ago, there was a politician, and he was in Sheffield, and he started mouthing off about brands, people copying brands.
Right.
And that protection status and stuff like that. And trading off, is it called trading off?
I think
pretend to be something.
Well, you're more up on the kind of more, you know, the intricacies of trade law more than I am. You're my go-to man for all that kind
well,
of stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm on thin ice already.
You're essentially my ombudsman, which is that kind of stuff.
What I know is that he was in the Sheffield area, this politician, sounding off about people copying brands. And he was writing about it, or talking to a journalist about it, and he said, you know, the other day, for example, I was in Sheffield, and they're all copying Worcester sauce. They've even got the orange label. What was it? Henderson's or something. And he had no idea.
The outrage.
I mean, everyone in Sheffield as one just went, how dare you? I mean, he'd got sort of 100 years of pent-up aggression. Just got released on this guy. As everyone pointed out, we're not copying the label.
Yeah.
We've done it for ages.
Because as far as I can tell, the main difference is Henderson's is suitable for vegetarians because it does not contain fish.
Anchovies is the thing.
And the anchovy.
Yeah.
But other than that, they both have got an orange label. They're ostensibly a brown, so the same
spicy
shaker bottle.
Yeah.
They both contain, the dripper cap. So they are very similar, aren't they?
They're very similar. They, you know, at a push, they're totally interchangeable. I have used Worcester sauce in times of utter need.
Yes. but do you prefer the flavour of Henderson's?
I do, but you know, hand on heart, it's just a bit better. You know, it's not life changing. But I feel very proud. I always use it, and I like everything to do with it. I like the sort of homemade label.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you can only get it in Sheffield and no one's ever heard of it outside.
Are you one of those kind of people that would take it on holiday and sit there in Mallorca with your bottle of Henderson's Relish on the table?
Yeah, well, the wife...
Wearing very short shorts and extremely white thighs.
Absolutely, yeah. with a pint of Boddington's and a bottle of Hendo's. So, funny enough, the reason I mention it is because I bought two bottles today to take back to London.
Who's going to be receiving it? Are they for personal use?
One is for personal use. The other one's to get the wife's family addicted, so we can hopefully sort of take a transplant and then put it in London. And
like spider plants?
Yeah.
Those great 70s plants that you get from like a village fete in a pot, and they just keep growing.
Well, we've got... I don't know if it's a spider plant, but it's like a sort of... ivy. It's a very easily growing green thing, that my granny gave me years ago. Or she gave my wife anyway, and she goes, oh, I'll just take a bit of this. And it's fairly, like, it's nice just to have, like, tumbling over the edge of a hanging basket. You know what I mean? It's nothing knockout on its todd, but it's a good filler.
Yeah.
Anyway, my granny then remarked that this plant, of which there's tons in her house, was actually from my mum's wedding bouquet.
Really?
Yeah.
And She's kept it going that long.
And we've all got a bit. And
wow.
And it's just this, like, self-healing, like, stuff that you just put, oh, there's a bit of a gap there, just stick some of this in. It's the botanical equivalent of silicon filler.
It's phenomenal, isn't it? Yeah. Just expanding foam. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to... Are your mum and dad still together?
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. There so as long as the plant...
Yeah. Do they know that the plant is the sword of Damocles hanging over their marriage?
I'll have to come back from holiday just to water it. Just when they start arguing.
Yeah, it's like in Back to the Future when his hand starts to disappear. If your plant dries up, your mum and dad start arguing. Start rallying. Exactly. He's on the verge of getting into bed with another woman.
You want a baby by her.
Come on, do it!
One drop of baby by her, they're headed upstairs.
Now, Tom, down to business.
For the benefit of doubt, Rob's gone off to get a box, which is smaller than I was anticipating. On the side of it, it says 58cc petrol chainsaw.
Yeah, which is why we're here today,
which is
isn't
why
it,
we're
Tom?
Here. Yeah.
You very kindly, Tom, my new neighbour in the hills, has agreed to help me build and then test run and try and cut a tree down with a new chainsaw.
Now, it's worth pointing out, I think, that neither of us... Oh, I'm speaking personally. I haven't ever touched a chainsaw. I've never felled a tree.
This is your chainsaw virginity.
Have you...
I used to have a chainsaw. My old one packed up. It wasn't as big as this. It was about half as powerful. Okay. And it gave up the ghost. But because we're getting into winter now, and last winter our heating bill was... Crippling. It was crippling. So we're just going to burn stuff. That's the plan this year. Just burn things. But in order to have the firewood, we need the means to bring it down.
Otherwise, you're pulling bits off the piano, aren't you?
Exactly. Yeah.
You'll be eating on your lap so much.
So we're going to. this table that we're assembling on, this might go, Tom.
Yeah, it stays a number, don't they?
So we're going to build, assemble, and then crank up a chainsaw, and then hopefully not kill ourselves. That's one of the key things.
Yeah, I don't know if we should, because you've earmarked a tree in the garden, and I did a bit of a recce before, and by my reckoning, it's about 12 metres high.
Do you think we might well have bitten off more than we can chew?
Well, It's a big tree, you know.
So there's a chance that by the time this goes out, we could both be residing in casualty.
I think, you know, it might just be worth putting a call in with the emergency services just to get them on standby.
Yeah, just put them on Amber Alert.
It's not an emergency. It's an inevitability. But if you can just hang around the main road, you'll probably hear the screams. They just come down.
Bring plenty of paper towels.
Yeah, possibly a prosthetic limb.
Plenty of wet paper towels. In fact, talking about paper towels, my wife, she is amongst the many brilliant and creative things that she does do with her time. On Friday, she helps the kids at our local school read, but she's also started working, Tom, as a dinner lady.
Wow.
On Fridays, and I would be a liar if I was not to say I find it slightly thrilling.
This is the dinner
that I'm now sharing a bed with a dinner lady. Because yeah. I don't know what it was. It feels like it was a kind of an unspoken fantasy throughout my schoolhood years. I don't know. I don't think I ever particularly had massive hots for specific dinner ladies.
Yeah,
but there's something about. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What duties does that entail?
Generally administering wet paper towels when children fall over.
Oh, of course,
that's the coverall kind of medical procedure at primary school. Wet paper towels, isn't it? Those blue ones. Just for grazed knees, grazed elbows, etc. Yeah,
folded.
Because, I mean, they're completely sterile, aren't they? I should imagine.
You'd have thought so.
Yeah.
They come in a sort of a big packet with a sleeve around them that looks almost medical.
Right, installing guide bar and saw chain. Tom's now set up his camera because he wants to film this. I think probably just in case.
It's a request from the wife, really, just to.
I suppose it gives the news some footage, doesn't it?
It gives them some before shots.
Yeah.
I've never even seen a chainsaw in operation.
Yeah.
So what? That's obviously.
Yeah. Well, this is the guide bar that goes on the on the thing. On the,
and then a jaggedy chain is yoiked around that.
Yeah, heaves around this at tremendous speeds, which tears into the wood.
The flesh of the tree.
And removes, pieces of wood with each bite of itself. That's the clutch. So I assume this bit goes on here. I'm assuming, but I don't know how the... Well, it doesn't actually have this. It appears to have any instructions? Mountings. It just says mounting screws. Like we're just going to go, oh great, mounting screws.
Yeah, yeah.
Alrighty.
Where did you get this piece of kit?
Online, Tom. Like most things. Online. Alright, so that's got to go on there. It can only go there.
And I think you scratched the table.
I was just aware that I've already quite badly damaged the table.
The next episode will be a sander.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm going to put
could be worse.
Just put some newspaper down. There's so many bits of furniture in my house that I've had to go and collect that my wife has purchased on eBay. Uh-huh. I have a very low public profile, and that's one of the things I quite like about stand-up. But every now and then, someone might have seen one of the television atrocities I committed back in the mid 2000s, and they'll go as I'm collecting like some shitty table out there, garage for 20 quid that my wife's purchased on eBay. They'll go, oh, you where do I know? How do I know you? What were you in? Yeah, washed up TV funny man collects knackered furniture from home of.
It does look. It's a way bleaker reflection on the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, it's horrific.
I often think that like, sometimes I quite like sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
I have no qualms about sitting on. If I'm wearing nice clothes, I won't sit on the floor.
Yeah, but also, how many billions of people around the world sit on the floor?
Loads.
Absolutely.
I'm in the majority. And so, if I'm waiting for a train or something like that, and there's nowhere to sit,
yeah,
I'll sit on the floor, right? I really don't mind.
Yeah. It was good enough for Gandhi.
So I'm sat on the floor in my shawl and my bowl of rice. No, I was sat on the floor. In King's Cross Station, I didn't realise that I'd sat right by the lavatory, and someone recognised me there, and I just thought, oh, you reckon I'd be sat on the floor next to the toilet? That's awful.
It's awful.
They tried to sell me a table for 20 quid.
It's awful, but it's kind of inevitable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
You can't.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? But I think that's what's nice about being a comic is. Because your default position is to not give a fuck about those things, or to not take them seriously, it doesn't matter. And in many ways, I think that's the thing that's a bit incongruous, maybe with stand up and people, you know, and have people who you know who've got a really high profile. It's your ability to sit on the outside of things, which is kind of. The attraction in the first place, isn't it?
Maybe? It is, yeah, and it's like when comics get really massive and then, you know, are doing jokes about Ryanair and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When everyone knows they've just chartered a jet.
Yes, yeah.
Like, oh, God, actually, that sort of outsider stroke underdog.
Yeah, it's all gone, all that.
It's very difficult to prop that up.
There's no currency, is there?
And be loaded.
Well, so it's very important that this podcast just hovers just around the radar, isn't it?
Are we sure we're following it step by step? It feels like
the bit that's frightening about assembling this chainsaw is it doesn't appear to have any instructions.
Really.
But what is clear though is there's only a few bits to put together.
We can call the engineering team.
Yeah, we'll get straight. Look, there is. Yeah. 01332. That's.
I love phoning them numbers. Actually, you often get put someone who really knows. It's funny.
There
is obviously a bloke by a phone.
It's recording.
Dealing with just say, would you put the guard on or the chain on?
Do you want to ring him? Let me put on speaker. You can ring him. Great, let's do it because we want to make sure we don't kill ourselves. What's the number, Tom? All right, chill. I'll just put it. I've got it there. We don't want everyone ringing them up and making this man's life a misery, especially our friends in Kuala Lumpur.
Oh, hello there. Is there anybody that can talk us through assembling a chainsaw? Okay, what have we put on here? This is the guide bar.
That's the guide. Yeah, that's the guide bar. We've got the put that on.
Do I know their number? I'll have to pop through to the shop. Just give me a couple of minutes, and I'll come back to you. So, what is it you're after?
Well, we're assembling a chainsaw.
Are you hired from here?
We're first timers. Yes, we bought from you guys. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, just bear with me a second.
All right.
That's great, yeah, if we don't answer, we might already be dead.
Hopefully not, anyway. What's your name, sorry?
Well, it's Rob and Tom.
Rob?
Yeah, Rob, yeah.
Yeah, and Tom, and what's your number?
Yeah, it's...
Lovely, and it's a chainsaw.
So... What's your name?
I'm in the training area, so I don't do deal in the shop side, so I'll get somebody to give you a call back from there.
So you've never assembled a chainsaw, obviously, yes.
Oh, no, it's nothing to do with this side of the business. That's the higher side, so I'll have to get with the people out of the shop to give you a call.
No problem.
All right, okay,
thank you.
Care.
Thanks for your help. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do we wait, or do we just soldier on?
I'd say soldier on.
I feel confident.
Yeah. It's just like my point was, if that goes on, how do you get the chain on?
How many of these buckets? I mean, this could be... You could fill it yourself open trying to open one of these.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you call these kind of packets?
They're not vacuum packs, but they're bubble packs, maybe.
It's the kind of thing you get a pair of headphones and then never, ever be able to get them out.
Put my hands trying.
Yeah.
The most ironic one, a bit ago, I bought a set of three scissors.
Yeah.
That was in... snookered. Completely snookered.
How did you get them out?
I had to go at it with a knife like that.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, I nearly took my thumb off. Are they bi-directional, these?
Well, generally, it rolls them that way.
Flipping out.
And then, yeah, so that's...
It's just the stuff of horror films, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Christ.
Yeah.
Are they sharp, individually?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, they are.
Teeth are sharp, yeah.
Shit.
I mean, literally, this thing would remove a finger as soon as breathe on it.
Yeah. It wouldn't even see it, would it?
Yeah. So I think that goes on.
It wouldn't even register any...
Yeah, it wouldn't care that it removed your finger.
I mean, it'd go through your leg without... With barely registering any torque.
So we're fully equipped in a... You wearing chainmail jeans?
No, I've just got standard... denim.
Is it fairly heavy denim?
It's a heavy denim, yeah. And then I've got a polyester baseline and a woolen cardigan that I don't care about.
Great. Well, I'm going to go for a pair of beach shorts and flip flops.
Roller skate.
Yeah, full roller girl outfit for boogie nights. Oh, that's a horrific thought. I'm not sure what's more horrific about that thought. Me killing myself with a chainsaw or being dressed as roller girl.
Or being found as...
Yeah. And then what's her name? Heather Graham watching it on the internet. That would be horrible for her on so many levels. Right, let's just line that up. And I think... I've noticed, as we've been assembling this, Tom, you've been sucking more and more on the...
The pacifying effect of the...
Just
electronic
to
cigarette.
Fend off the raw panic.
It looks good. How much was it?
Well, I think it was about 60 quid.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Is that a mid-range or?
It's cheap. I mean, I did speak to the tree surgeon. I did speak to the tree surgeon who cut down some of the other tree because that involved going up with ropes. And he recommended chainsaws that, as I looked at them, they were all like £600-700. But then I thought, this is a tenth of the price.
Mm.
I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Then you just got to get some tension on the chain, and then we've got to fill it up with oil in two-stroke, and then we're away with a bit of luck. How much tension are you going to put on the chain, does it say? Gear the chain.
There's absolutely no way you want it flapping off.
This is terrifying! This is fucking terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah.
fact, right, while holding the tip of the bar, adjust the chain tension. That already strikes me that the even in these cartoons, this man's wearing gloves. So, do you own any power tools, Tom?
Yeah, I've got a couple of sanders.
Now we're talking.
I chucked £100 at a good hammer drill, actually.
An SDS drill.
SDS.
Life changing.
I had one before, a really cheap one, which was fine. But then, I tried to go down the route of battery operated.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to chuck a lot of money at them. If you don't get a good one of them, you've just got to go mains.
Yeah.
So I went back and bought a good mains one instead.
And can you describe to anyone who might not be quite as into drills as you and I are,
as the SDS,
what the SDS means?
Well, the SDS,
why to the layman, the SDS would change your life?
It's way superior because the normal chuck, your three-toothed chuck, has like three, and it literally grabs the dowel of the drill.
You're throwing out a lot of terms here.
Well, I mean, but, you know, a regular chuck has three jaws which screw down onto the drill bit, so it holds it in place by just gripping it.
Yeah, like three fingers.
Like three fingers, just trying to grip something and then spin it round.
Like so early man operating a biro.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Then, so obviously when that's...
Or a crab down, operating a biro.
Crab with a
biro. Or a man who's been who's poorly assembled a chainsaw operating a biro.
Filling in his insurance claim form. Now, the SDS... So when you think about it, when that's going through a wall, like a brick wall,
yeah,
and it's hammering and spinning fast under loads of stress and tension and resistance, it's still trying to grip it like a three-fingered man's gripping a biro.
Gotcha.
The SDS, with its grooved shaft...
Oh, my God. Did you just say grooved shaft?
...locks the drill in place.
Yeah.
Way better. Meaning it can just... You can feel it can be... It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Much like this...
Ain't going anywhere.
This guard bar that you appear to have...
It's on. It's working. From a comedic perspective, it is a kind of... It's a trope, isn't it, of comedy, maybe certainly of recent years, that that you're not meant to be able to actually do anything, are you? Like, I can't possibly... I can't put a bulb in. Do you know what I mean? It's a default setting.
Yeah, yeah. Helpless.
Yes, yeah. Helpless, useless. But you strike me as quite a practical individual.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
So do you, in terms of...
very capable of dropping clangers.
Yeah, me too. Because I think it's a weird thing, because I never wanted to be the kind of person who just gets someone to do everything. Do everything, because...
Where's the fun in that?
Part of the joy of being alive is losing a finger every now and then, isn't it?
Yeah, is knocking down the dry wall.
Oh, you've knocked down dry walls with your missus as well, haven't you?
Yeah, that was...
Who wielded the hammer? Did you both wield the hammer?
Yeah, well, what it was, she was harping on about going on holiday.
Yeah.
And she said, we haven't been on holiday for ages and everything. And, you know, I said, okay, well, the only way we can do it is we've got to book, I've got to definitely book no gigs in, and you take time off work. So we agreed... A week, right?
Yeah.
An arbitrary week, about 2 months in the future. So it came to the point, like a week before, we'd not booked anywhere, and all the flights, any flights out of the country and back for that week were £250 each.
Wow.
So obviously two people, two flights.
Yeah.
Each. You're looking at a grand. Just in and out of the country.
Exactly.
So
that's
the budget gone. So we just wherever we go, we're just gonna have to wait at the airport.
And obviously, you're gonna need extra baggage allowance for all the Hendersons you're gonna be taking out to the new country to try and get it off the ground there.
Yeah, that's more than 10 kilos. So we then realised what had happened was we'd unfortunately booked off half term.
Right.
And we're just the victim of the evil price hike associated with that. So we couldn't afford to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, we're just gonna have to have a holiday at home. We'll have a DIY holiday.
Yeah.
And we'll do all the jobs that I've been promising. Chiefly, knocking down the wall between the living room and the kitchen. Knocking through.
And you physically knocked it down yourself?
Yeah, so we woke up one morning and it dawned on us that we can't go anywhere. We're in bed, like looking on a laptop or something at all these flights. We can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So then there's a lovely series of photos of basically me and her in our, like,
lounging about clothes.
Yeah. Oh, it's the shop ringing you back, Tom.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Is that Rob?
Yes.
Speaking. Yep.
Oh, hello, Rob. It's Sue calling from HSS Hiring Derby. I've been asked to give you a call.
Yes. Well, we just wanted a bit of advice regarding the Power Cut professional chainsaw installation. We weren't sure whether to put the guide bar or the chain on first.
Have you hired it from here?
We've purchased it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And you don't know how to put the chain on?
Well, we probably will know how to put the chain on.
We think we've got it on.
We were just a bit unsure whether to put the handle on or the chain on first. It was at what point do you thread on the chain is the question. We're a bit
confused. Right, OK. I will go and find out for you.
Okie dokie.
And give you a call back, Rob.
All right, thank you very much.
OK. All right, thanks.
Bye.
Thanks,
I imagine the conversation she's about to have with someone is.
Yeah.
I think they might be about to kill themselves.
There's a couple of lunatics with our brand name. This is as it stands, they're changing letterheads. They'll be undergoing a massive rebranding operation.
Yeah, all that stationery, yeah, pulpit.
We are now called. So when this gets on the news, we have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, no, that's not our branding. You see how that's all there. That's...
I've heard about them.
Right.
Like a set of cowboys.
Yeah, well, we're, maybe Kimberly Clark will be saying, but look at the way those paper towels are absorbing that blood.
Yeah, no. Oh, they'll all be coming out the woodwork.
I think we've done it. That looks fairly smooth to me.
And is that the right function?
Basing on what I've used before, it looks all right, that, mate.
Does it?
Yeah, that looks all right, because it's got no oil in it yet. So you have to fill it up with, so it has oil.
Yes, it's that.
Here we go, you're back in. You're back in, Tom.
Hello?
Oh, hello, is that Rob?
Yes.
Hi, Rob. Did you get any instructions with it?
Yes, we've got the book here, yeah.
Yeah, because if you just follow the instructions, it should tell you at which point that your chain goes on.
Yeah.
It does, and we've actually just cracked it. It was just a slight concern over whether the which went first. So we'd got the guide bar on, and then do you thread the chain over, and then attach the handling bar, or and then I guess actually a question now is just raised up, and that's regarding chain tension.
Right. Okay. See, I don't deal with the chainsaws, you see, so.
You and me both.
Is there nothing on there about the tension at all? Everything should be on there because these things, you know, unless we... I can't advise on it unless I know about it because, you know, they're really dangerous and if it was to cause an accident, then, you know, I'd be liable for it. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, because these are not supposed to be used. Cause when we hand these out in the shop,
yeah,
there's only certain people can hand them out, you see, and they have to give a full handover when they're giving them out on how to use it.
I'm sure, yeah, it's serious business.
And everything that goes with it, you know. And then it's always if you're left-handed, you can't hire one anyway.
Is that right?
So if you were left-handed, we wouldn't be allowed to hire you one out.
That sounds like something out of the 1920s, doesn't it? You know, when the...
Yeah, it's just because of the way the blade's set.
Yeah.
It's set for right-handed, you know, people with right hand to cut.
Can you get a left-handed chainsaw, you know, if there's like Paul McCartney or something?
I don't think so, I don't know. All the ones we have.
Because he's not been in.
You know,
yeah. We'll have to check directly with Paul McCartney.
Okay, well, we'll thoroughly read the instructions. That's fine. Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you.
Unless you ring direct to, you know, the makers of it.
Yeah.
They will be able to advise you along.
All righty. Thank All right. you very much indeed. Cheers. Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks, Rob.
Take
Bye.
Care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Very helpful. I didn't know that.
Yeah, very helpful.
So, I've got a massive admission to make. I am left-handed.
Are you? Are you southpaw? No way!
Yeah, can't get here.
Shit!
Fact, I'm standing too close as it is.
You are, aren't you? Oh my god, I didn't realise you were southpaw.
Yeah, totally, born and bred, yeah.
Well,
my granddad, the reason I mention that is because my granddad's left-handed, but when he was at school, you were a devil for being left-handed. So
yeah.
He could write with both hands, he was actually had to learn to write with his right hand.
Yeah, well, that can cause a lot of people a lot of problems, can't it?
Mental things yeah. to do to a person.
My lad, he writes left-handed, but he any racket sports or anything does right-handed, kicks with his right foot, everything right side, but writes with his left.
There's hand. There's a lot of that. I'm left-handed for everything that's to do with one hand.
We're talking everything here, Tom.
We're talking everything.
Absolutely everything.
Everything that involves two hands, guitars, cricket, things like that, I'm right-handed.
Or really going for it.
Or really going for it.
When you employ both hands.
Then I adopt the right-handed stance. Same with feet. I'm left-footed, like totally left-footed.
Yeah.
But if I was to mount a skateboard or indeed surf, which not only is a hilarious image,
yes,
but I would do it the right-footed way.
Right.
So a lot of left-handed people have this weird sort of Venn diagram of like when you become actually a bit right-handed.
So if you were in a surfing movie,
yeah,
and you're up against guy, yeah, you know, the guy who was always in your face, like in the training scenes,
yeah.
And then I'd be your coach on the beach and go, Tom, switch,
and you
switch from left-footed stance to right-footed stance,
and I'd be underwater in seconds.
Well, that
you'd have to scramble the rescue vessel.
Bring a lot of paper towels. It's interesting. I've had a chainsaw before, so I'm not scared of this thing as much as. But I started to get really scared then. When I mean, quite rightly, that woman absolutely correctly said, because if you were coming to the shop,
yeah.
But I was able to just buy one over the internet like that.
Yeah, it's terrifying, isn't it? Or is it the dark web?
No, I inadvertently stumbled into the dark web.
Did you get it off Silk Road?
had to buy it in bitcoins.
Became packed in heroin.
I've discarded most of that.
8 million quid it was.
Should we get this filled up with fuel and see if we can fire it up?
Fuel and lube.
It's ready. Let's lube it and fuel it. Right. Exciting news. So we're going to mix the fuel in, it's a two-stroke engine. I mean, Tom, we're just trying to work out what...
I don't know what that means.
Two-stroke is.
Because, you know, I've never considered or thought about or seen anyone mixing the petrol with the oil. Not saying it's wrong, I'm just like...
Yeah.
I thought they were quite separate components to it.
I think I just follow the proportions on the...
it's got a mixing jar and everything.
On the bottle,
We shouldn't come to any harm, but... we've worked out that, of course, a normal engine is four-stroke, isn't it?
Yes.
Known individually as suck, squeeze, bang, blow.
Yeah.
Which is most people's idea of a good night. But for mechanics, it's bread and butter.
Yeah.
So a two-stroke, it must be
bang, suck?
It's either bang, suck, blow, squeeze, or I reckon it's got to be suck, bang.
What are the most important
bits?
It's
suck, bang.
What are the most important bits of suck, bang, squeeze, blow?
Well, suck...
Bang...
Bang is obviously... Bang. Well, they're all important. Otherwise, it will just not work. You can't...
So is it a combination, then, a two-stroke of suck and suck and squeeze?
It must be suck...
And bang and blow.
Yeah, suck and squeeze, bang and blow. Yeah, yeah. That must be.
Still a good night, isn't it?
Still... in many ways, better.
Yeah, it's just a bit more intense. Just over quicker.
Yeah, yeah. You get less bang for your buck, don't you?
Yeah.
In that regard.
So that's the difference between a four-stroke engine and a two-stroke
engine. That's
that
covered, yeah.
It's just everything happens faster.
Yeah, it's just, it's like a supermarket or something. It's just or half the action under one roof.
Yeah.
Or something like that. No.
So it's squeeze and suck, a concurrent squeeze and suck.
It must be a concurrent squeeze and
with
suck.
With a bang and blow combo.
But that doesn't make sense because it sucks. The reason it sucks is so it can then squeeze.
What about cuddling?
I think two-stroke is just wine and spooning, isn't it?
Yeah. There's no cuddling. I think the two-stroke is the equivalent of a Tinder sex meet-up, isn't it? To swipe right, then a quick fuck.
Swipe right, bang. That's your two-stroke engine.
There we go. Swipe, wipe, bang. So we're going to fill up our bottles now.
Yeah.
We don't think you need to hear that.
It's just going to be a bit of gurgling. Yeah,
So we've laced it with two-stroke.
Yeah.
We've established what the two-stroke is.
Yeah, with
Mr. Whiz Whiz Bang Bang, suck bang, kiss blow, no, you know, no follow-ups.
Right swipe.
Yeah, delete your number from my telephone afterwards. That's two strokes. But now the moment we've got to start it up, Tom, this is a moment of truth.
It is. I suppose in every chainsaw's life, there's this moment of, you know, of birth, isn't it?
Yeah.
When it basically becomes a chainsaw.
Yeah. I must admit, I do it with a slightly heavy heart that after we found out with our call to the service centre, she did say that as a left-hander, a southpaw,
yeah,
you are banned from...
out of the game.
From operating the unit.
Yeah, which is extraordinary. I cannot believe that sort of prejudice still exists. I thought we'd worked through that as a nation.
Yeah, you thought we... Yeah, yeah. Exactly. What's
equal opportunity. Only the other day, I mean, people are on the news every day, aren't they? Banging on about equality.
Yeah.
And then here we are. Not you allowed.
Ostracised.
Yeah, yeah.
On account of your manual leanings. There's a train there. It's quite... Yeah. It's coming through quite
well. I mean, it's partly prejudiced and partly, you know, blatant health and safety.
if you pop the headphones on, then they're a little bit knackered. I will try and do.
Well, it sounds great, doesn't
it? Yeah. Do you want to hold that then? I'll try and do the honours.
Okay, so I'm really just looking up for it peaking.
I'm
right?
Gutted because obviously in my mind's eye, Tom, you're going to be doing this.
Well, I might be able to give it a go, at least for the sort of cameras, but yeah, it might be that... Where are you going to actually...
So I'm going to do it on the grass here, so it doesn't fire any gravel at any of us.
All right, if we... so it's all the crap's going to go that way?
I think so, yeah. So I'm going to try and... So it was clutch out, wasn't it? On position. Chain brake off, I think. So remember, you put your foot on here. The moment of truth. Oh! There was something there, wasn't there? There was a hint of excitement. Suppose you've got to get the petrol through.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to flood the engine.
It does a little, doesn't it?
I don't know what... Because you mentioned something before about a choke. I've not heard anyone even use the word choke since my granddad in the early 80s.
Yes, it's an old Austin Allegro.
Yeah, on a winter's day. And it's got a clutch, hasn't it? So the engine will start before the blades run.
Yes. Doesn't there? I don't know how you meant to... Should we look at the instructions again? It burped, didn't it?
Yeah.
It gave us an initial little belch of excitement.
Yeah.
Hold the saw unit securely on the ground, pull the starter up vigorously. And then when it started, push the choke in to the first stage position. Allow the engine to warm up with the throttle lever pulled slightly. Okay, that's all it says. So you don't have the throttle on. So you just have to have the choke out. It strikes me that the choke doesn't really stay out. It's not very good, is it? Can you see that regressing back in?
Yeah, does it twist and lock or something?
Let's try it again. No, it didn't seem to.
There's always something slight. It's not doing it at all, is it?
Not getting any. Nothing's happening, Tom. Nothing is occurring.
There's no... How's it spark? Is it a battery or anything?
It's got a spark plug that gets cranked by... That's spinning.
By that?
Yeah. I think we've just got to keep yanking this thing.
Do you need to...
It did offer a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
At this point, the
The drama of the podcast is either nosediving or ratcheting up.
It's certainly tension. I've got to check the instructions.
Yeah.
Definitely, I'm definitely pulling that vigorously, Tom.
The carburettor.
Ah.
Starting the engine. Fill fuel, tighten caps. Done. Set the switch to one position. Now, weirdly.
Yep.
Oh, Tom.
What a nightmare.
Oh.
Pull out the choke. Close.
Working a sweat up here just trying to start the fucking thing. Oh. I'm now naked except for a pair of pants. I'm not.
It's fucking boiling.
Which does go against any sort of
safety regulations.
Safety regs of
Oh. It's fucking exhausting trying to crank this thing. It's not having it, is it?
Engine, isn't it?
Oh, this is a lot of effort. Might just have to get some logs delivered, Tom.
This is horrible.
I wanted the full Leatherface moment, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see
you running screaming back into the house.
The carburettor has been factory adjusted, but may require fine tuning.
It's hurting the arms.
What it is.
Ah!
Hey!
Ah! So, as you can hear, Tom, you want these on? Right.
Yeah, without doubt, happened.
Right. Shall we go for a log cut?
Yeah.
Let's do it! Goodbye, cruel world! There we go, we've done it.
That's it, that's...
We've done it.
That would have taken about the same length of time with a handsaw. All things considered.
Yeah, taking everything into account.
But this is where we really steal a march on our manual comrades.
Absolutely, now we're up and running. Right, what we need to do now, Tom...
Now we need to fell a tree.
We need to fell something, don't we? We're after some big game.
Now I want to be able to shout timber...
Come with me, let's look round.
There she goes.
Let's have a little look round the garden, see if there's a branch that we think we could bring down without killing ourselves.
Okay.
Let's have a look round here, come with me. I'm glad that started.
Yeah, that would have been a nightmare.
Yeah, I would have cried.
Yeah, awful.
Well, I'm thinking, okay. Tom.
So we're now under a beautiful autumnal... it's an oak, isn't it?
It's a...
No, it's not an oak.
Conker tree.
It's a conker tree. Is it a sycamore?
Yeah, technical term is conker tree, isn't it?
Yeah. To be honest, I'd quite like to see the chainsaw taken to my talk router following the disastrous
customer service. With pleasure. Should we make haste to your flat and then... We've never operated a chainsaw indoors before, Tom.
No, that would probably be a first for most
people.
It's
a game changer.
Never taken it to some consumer electronics.
Well, there we go.
So this is the site of the tree that you've earmarked.
We're thinking about felling, yeah.
The lot.
This is the one that my wife said she wants this down.
Blimey.
Yeah.
And where are you... Exciting. Because we're next to a phone line. That'll put you off grid if
That would bring the... Would that take the internet out as well?
And clean out, yeah.
In one fell swoop.
That's comms off.
Yeah, off. Yeah. Blackout, full blackout.
Yeah, full blackout.
Communication blackout. But maybe that's the first step of going off grid is taking out your
Taking out, yeah.
Your phone and broadband supplier.
Definitely, yeah.
At the pole.
At source.
Not just not paying the bill. This is physically.
Yeah, I've disconnected.
Yeah, physically.
I've undone the pipeline. I mean, it does. It feels like we should be able to soar into that, but.
Yeah, and it's a nice, it's a manageable height, isn't it? It's sort of waist height.
My only concern is if it fell the wrong way, it could kill one of us and or a passerby.
Well, where do you think it'll fall? And whenever I've seen, like, I've not seen much, but when you see it on telly, which for some reason I think I have, there's a rope involved. To be honest, there's ear guards and.
Yeah. There's more than just these B&Q 199 plastic glasses.
199 Perspex ear shields. And there's certainly not some curly-haired lunatic chasing you around with a camera. On all the videos I've seen, I'm not involved.
It's interesting, isn't it, with all of these kind of things. From everything, so many things you've done before, from a distance, they seem manageable. And then you get closer, there's always that moment where you go, oh, shit, this is the moment where it could really go wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this thinking, now we've got a chainsaw running, this is a possibility, isn't it?
Because the guys who do this are called surgeons.
They're called surgeons, aren't they? Yeah.
And surgeons is not a word that you, like, bound about, you know, like...
That said, Tom...
Like manager.
Yeah, they'll do the jobs for cash. No VAT involved. And I don't think surgeons do.
You wouldn't have a nose job with that sort of...
Exactly, yeah. Or you...
Laissez-faire approach to accountancy.
Exactly. Or if the talented surgeon who alleviated the subdural brain hemorrhage my mother had 2 summers ago said... So, do you know, I'll do
Tell
it for
what.
Cash. Yeah. Do you want me to do this one for cash? And I thought, well, A, that's streaky. B, I'm not filled with confidence. And C, we're in a national health hospital.
Yeah.
But surely that's wrong.
Surely this has got to go through the books.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Just put it through, speak to the health minister, put it through the books as per.
Yeah.
But the thought of actually chopping that down is a reality... I'm not going to lie to you, Tom. Excuse my language. I'm fucking terrified.
Yeah, because and there's some, like when we were stood back there a little bit, there's something. It's not a massive tree, but when you stood under it, it is.
There's instructions in the instruction pamphlet saying which way to cut
trees.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to bring them down.
Because what I'm looking at is a pine tree, isn't it?
It's a pine tree of some sort, thing
with little needles. Like a massive Christmas tree, really.
Yeah.
But only not. It's got 3 main branches that come up virtually out of the floor. One massive trunk gives way to 3 immediate, or 4, actually. Look, it's got 4.
One splits there.
So there's sort of 4 to go at. But one of them,
an amateur's nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
In the chainsawing world.
It's a surgeon's puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of tree surgeons would turn their back on this and say, no.
Well, I'll do it for cash, Tom.
You need to speak to Ron. he's the only man I know that could tackle a four-way fern.
What if there's a preservation order on it? I don't think there is on these things, because they were put up in the 70s when everyone was high on Angel Delight and Findus, Vestacurries and Trifle.
Findus got hammered by Ross. Ultimately,
did they?
Yeah, it's a famous marketing study. I think it was Findus. They stopped advertising.
Really?
They got cocky.
Who, Findus did?
Yeah. And they stopped advertising.
They put Captain Birdseye out.
Yeah, well,
out
think
to
about
pasture.
The market leaders in fish fingers, crispy pancakes. They were in everyone's freezer, and then they went, "Oh, we don't need to advertise." It was also to do with like the fact that Coca-Cola spend gazillions on advertising, and then everyone thinks, "Why? We all know it."
Yeah.
And then people quickly remind you of Findus, a company that got market leader.
Yeah.
And then went, oh, we'll be all right.
Right.
And then along came Ross, Iceland, hoovered up.
Just destroyed him.
Yeah.
Have you ever eaten Ross fish fingers?
I probably have, yeah. I mean, I can't. No specific time is called to mind.
I'm not seeing any Ross products on the shelves recently. Maybe they made their millions and then now live in Tahiti.
Yeah, more than likely.
Ross lives in Tahiti. Never eaten a fish finger in my life. Awful
we'll,
things.
We'll touch them.
Yeah, we'll touch them, mate. Do you know what goes in them? What's it? Horse meat fish.
Oh, yeah.
Would Findus have been caught up in the whole horse meat debacle?
Interesting question. Unlikely.
Yeah.
Very unlikely. But,
the crispy pancakes, they made a beef one, didn't they?
I remember... they did. So that would have been... Yeah, they weren't always fish, were they? They were poultry and...
Maybe Ross had completely destroyed them by the time that the horse meat scandal came round.
Well, they do a lot of ready meals and stuff, don't they? They do, you know, along came along your shepherd pies and stuff like that for deep freeze. It was always a bit bleak when
you
see people.
Do you eat ready meals,
Tom? No, of course not. I'd rather have just pieces of fruit.
Yeah, or gruel.
Yeah, seriously. But once I was in a shop that, one of those, a shop where cafes go.
Yeah.
To buy their stuff. Wholesale.
Oh, wholesalers, yeah. Cash and carry.
Because the wife worked for the NHS, for cash in hand.
No. Yeah.
She worked for the NHS. And part of it was you were able to get this card.
Yeah.
A place called Costco.
Yeah. Oh, I know people with Costco cards.
They flaunt it in front of your eyes, like they're high rollers. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's
like a black American Express or something.
Yeah, I can, but like they say, I've bought a piece of cheese the size of a breeze block.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. For £8 plus VAT.
Yeah.
Because they don't put the VAT on in the shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. We went to Costco and they had all the. It was no good for us, like a couple.
Yeah.
Because you had to buy things literally by the catering quantity.
And what were your allergies?
Yeah.
As well. You end up buying an industrial sized amount of cheese that you're allergic
and
to.
And penchant for takeaways. Everything would just rot. But anyway, the reason I mention it is because we saw a tin of tuna. They had there was no John West. There's all the different brands of tuna. One of them was called Chicken of the Sea.
Oh my God!
A gross thing to say.
Chicken of the sea. Maybe what if it was? Maybe it was just like chicken in brine.
Yeah, but you can't do that. I mean, you know, you don't call, like pork isn't considered the cod of the farmyard.
Yeah,
it's just an awful thing to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stamping some sort of weird factory or abundance
really odd,
element
it?
On it.
Yeah.
Just tuna.
It's stomach churning, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
It's tuna. Just call it something else.
Yeah. Yeah, interchangeable meat from the ocean.
Yeah, well, just Tina's tuna. That's way more.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Tina's tuna flakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicken of the sea.
Unbelievable. Chicken of the sea. So, we're going to make a notch cut, according to the magazine. And then our escape route, me and you.
Over there.
Down here. We're down here. To run away.
All right. Let's just go through that again then.
So I'll make a notch cut here first before we do anything. As it said.
Okay, so what we're going to do?
We're going to make a notch cut into here about that big. Crescent shape. And then we make a cut in behind it. We should fell that in that direction there. Hopefully without causing any subsidiary damage to it, anyone else. Oh shit. Right, I'm going to start her up, Tom.
Okay.
We make me notch cut.
Does look like an excellent notch.
That's a notch, isn't it? Shit. Right, now it's... we shouldn't be walking in front of it, should we, Tom?
No.
Now that's going to drop, hopefully, in that direction without taking out... Let's just check there's no cars or anyone else over here. Do you think maybe you should be on this side of this... No, we don't. It doesn't matter, does it? We're still rolling everything, aren't we? It's fine,
yeah,
there's no one coming.
Yeah.
Right, now. So now... Oh my God! I don't know whether they should be doing this, Tom.
Well,
we're going to saw in the back here, aren't we?
I think it was Magnus Magnusson that said that I've started saw finish.
Yes. Well, let's do it. Is it sound all right, sound-wise?
Sounding great.
Right,
looking great.
Are you ready to retreat
I'm ready to
that
go
way?
That way, yeah. I'm just going to, if need be, drop everything and peg it.
Okay, cool. Let's start up. Good luck. Tree.
perfect.
Whoa!
That was absolutely perfect.
That was incredible.
Clean as a whistle.
That worked, didn't
beautiful,
it?
Beautiful, beautiful descent. And that could have been a lot different.
That could have gone, yeah.
It was unlikely, but it really could have. Like, I think the worst thing was, obviously, us injuring ourselves, which was unlikely.
Yeah.
Because it was never going to be going a really weird way.
Yeah, they know what
we're
used to.
Yeah. The worst thing realistically would have been just checking the gate out.
Yeah, or a passerby.
Yeah, yeah.
Or that couple there, yeah. Happy couple there.
Yeah, just. Yeah, because surely, like, legally, you should have roped off 50 metres or something.
Yeah. What's the tracker, Tom?
It goes on here. This is a little key ring here.
Mm.
I press it. Sets my phone off. So, like, can't find my phone. Press that.
What if you can't find your camera?
This. From the phone, I go to an app. I've got one on my e-sync. Yeah. I've got one on my keys. Camera. Oh, look, that's not doing it, the bastard. But to be honest, it's...
Where's your camera, Tom? Yeah. Where's your camera?
That's the e-cig.
That tells you where your e-cig is?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got these all over everything?
Yeah. Yeah, I bought 8 of them.
Really?
In a moment of utter internet giddiness.
That's unbelievable.
In theory, they're amazing, because you put them on these things and then you get the app, and the app tells you where things are, where they were last seen and stuff.
So you can't lose your keys?
That's the idea.
How much time do you think you spend just checking where all your stuff is? Or rechecking?
You mean just fight, like, making them beep for no reason?
And did it show you physically where they are?
It can do, yeah. So what happened, the idea is it's as good as you can imagine, and I'm sure what you can imagine is like that. If I can't find something, I tell my app to make it ring.
Yeah.
And when that works, it's great. I have actually found it. Like, oh, there they are. Good. But we've had them for years. Remember those whistling ones?
Yeah. Actually, I'm saying, yeah, I don't.
Don't you?
No, I've never had one.
A key fob, where if you whistled or clapped,
it would beep. Yeah, it would go beep.
Yeah.
I just never had one, Tom. I just lose my keys and lose my mind.
Blew my mind, then, when I was young. So it's that, but then also, it connects to your phone with Bluetooth. And so if you make it ring, you make it ring. If you and the keys get separated, it makes your phone ring or your keys ring or neither or both. So you can set like proximity alarms. So if I walked out of here and left something, it might beep at me.
Tom, you've left your e-cig on Rob's table.
And then also, if I do lose my keys, say I did lose them in the garden here and like couldn't find them, I had no idea where they were at all.
Yep.
What then happens is, if someone with a tracker app,
someone
not me but like me, walks past, or say something got nicked, if someone with a tracker app walks past my keys, the other person's app will anonymously grab the information and go, there's a tracker thing. I'll just tell the owner that I've seen them there.
Really?
That's the idea. Really, really brilliant.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, it's like I said, as good as you can imagine. And then. If I'm at home on my own Wi-Fi, it sort of doesn't panic if I separate from things, because it assumes that you've just wandered. You know what I mean? It's not as intrusive. Yeah. Whereas if you're outside, it can be a lot more protecting.
Yeah, it gets quite panicked.
Yeah, it's very anxious once it's outside. But what's called when you're in the nest, which is like this wanky new word for like your devices being at home. In the Internet of Things, that's sort of, I think that's the terminology they're using. They sort of relax a bit more. But so, also, you know, it's great.
Do you and your wife both wear one as well?
Yeah, well, we don't wear them as such. But
so she can track you, Jeremy, she can track you from wherever you're.
She can't, no. She could probably somehow. But no, not sort of day to day. You're best off just asking me who I am.
It's like you're willingly wearing a tag around your ankle.
Well, the moment you've got a smartphone, you've got that, haven't you?
You're Asbo, aren't you?
You are Asbo, but Asbo by Apple.
I spoke by Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
So, Tom.
But the app's a little bit flaky, as you can see. It doesn't always work.
Yeah.
Sometimes they fire off.
Like real life.
Yeah, so.
Like a real life obsessive partner.
I knew when I bought them. Yeah, exactly.
I've got a restraining order.
I think you're in the toilet. I'm sure you're in the toilet.
I know you're in the toilet.
Yeah.
So it's the sort of thing that in a couple of years will be amazing. But I'm a foolish early adopter.
You're a willing guinea pig.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
well, you like to be at the vanguard, don't you, Tom?
Chucking good money at daft things basically paying for them to be refined to when they can be unveiled to a wanting public. It's me
on the gadget show.
Yeah, same with e-cigs, really. I mean, I've not been doing them that long, but when I did get into them, they were rubbish. And then I've seen them go from being, like, not rubbish, but getting quite good to being amazing. I know people have been doing it for longer than me that have just tolerated these rubbish things.
And do Max Faxter and Rimmel still contact you on a weekly basis to rub makeup into your eyes?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm wearing a new scent.
Well, at least think it spares a few rabbits, doesn't it?
At least I can do.
Now, let's back to business, young man.
Yeah.
What just happened?
But I suppose there was an element of teamwork.
Well, absolutely.
Felled?
Yeah.
Well, I felled a tree.
You would have been felling it had it not been for the fact that you're a left-hander.
Archaic law about which way you grab a dummy when you come out of the pram. you know, some latent prejudice.
If only your mum had thrown them satsumas more towards your right side.
Yeah, that could have been me out there.
Yeah, that could have been you out there.
Yeah, but no. I reached with my left, so I was relegated to cameraman, which but the footage is fantastic.
It's great footage. Yeah. We'll put the footage up on some form of web link. Yeah, we just felled a tree.
Fern? Is it a fern?
I think it was, yeah.
Christmassy, wasn't it?
It's down either way. Either way, it came down, didn't it?
Yeah. It smelt lovely. That heady mix of sawn wood and two-stroke engine oil.
Yeah. The bump and bang.
Yeah. There's a florist near where I live... in London, that's a florist and a motorcycle repair shop.
All in the same
building. The wife tends to the botanical side and hubby is usually wrist deep in a carburetor. and the smell in there just blows your mind. You just can't...
Yeah.
It's like, obviously, flowers just smell lovely. Florists smell amazing.
Tulips and WD-40.
Yeah, it's just really... Like, I'm not saying engine smell bad. I quite like the smell of...
I love the smell of two-stroke.
Yeah,
I quite enjoy following someone on a scooter. Just with the window open just to smell it.
Yeah. But they're not together on any sort of, you know, there's little harmony between the two smells.
It's a clash of smells.
When you walk in, because you walk in the florist and you've got all past it. You've got him outside tinkering with engines and then...
Do you think she sells fewer flowers because of the stench of his oil?
I don't think, I've not checked the books, but it's not off-putting. It's only when you stop and think, like, what? Yes, I can smell both. But, you know, if you've got your face in a rhododendron, you're smelling a rhododendron.
But it's like when you spray pine air freshener after someone has deposited in a lavatory.
Yeah, so it almost makes it worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It invites you in.
There's a dishonesty, and then it hits you full frontally.
Yeah. Well, it just swipes the leg with a...
with the stench of faecal matter.
Yeah.
Should we do a quick finger count as well?
Yeah, I'm on...
How many have you got?
I'm on 10.
I'm still on 10.
Four limbs.
Four limbs, they're all there.
Yeah. Yeah, there was not one moment. I suppose the only...
We should ring the lady back from the shop and just tell her we've done it and we're all still intact.
Yeah, we're in the clear. Thanks for...
Do you want to ring her back?
I think it'd just be embarrassing.
I don't want to embarrass her.
No.
Yeah, no, she doesn't need that, does she?
Yeah, she doesn't need... She'll probably think of it, don't we? She'll probably check the news.
She'll check the news. If nothing pops up on local news...
Give it 3 days.
Yeah.
Then she'll be...
She can stop worrying about it.
She'll be off the medication.
Well, Tom, it's an absolute pleasure talking to you and assembling a chainsaw and sawing down a tree with you.
Been a complete joy.
Thank you very much.
Complete joy.
Until our next adventure.
Cheerio.
That's my dog. Someone's
come within a 200-yard...
Yeah, they've come within his prescribed radius.
Which is further than your property boundary.
A lot further, yeah. Basically, anyone...
Sadly, not in sync with the...
Yeah, cars that are on the road, they're all right. But if there's a cyclist on the road...
Oh, really?
Especially if they're talking to a friend, he does not like that. I think he's got issues with them riding two abreast.
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They don't own the road.
Selfish.
It's about us all living in harmony, I agree with that, but... They're on the back foot, aren't they, cyclists? They feel put upon.
Yeah, yeah, You can't.
They shouldn't go through traffic lights, Tom.
Yeah, like that. I don't actually. When I'm sorry,
I never would.
I'm very defensive and I like to think safe, so I don't play fast and loose with cycling rules when I'm cycling, say in London, which I do quite a bit. And you see twatty cyclists, you really do.
Yeah.
But what's funny is like the narrow-minded driver's opinion of, well, because they do that, they deserve to die.
Yeah, absolutely. Think, yeah, no, it's inexcusable, isn't it? Yeah, whoa, that's escalated far too quickly. It's crazy, isn't it?
Partly, one of the reasons why it's so awesome around here was the mass trespass. You know all about that.
What's that?
In the 30s. Well, a load of, like, noblemen tried to shut off the peaks.
Really?
Yeah, for grouse shooting and,
right.
and that shit. And loads of people in Sheffield and Manchester just went fuck off.
Yeah.
And tucked and did a mass trespass. I don't know how organised. I think the biggest was out of Stockport mainly, I think. Well, that's where some ringleader was from. But they basically went up Kinder Scout or Mam Tor and they just swarmed on there, breaking the law, going, fuck off, we're walking here.
Or you're shooting us.
Yeah, yeah. So they totally, you know, public protested it.
I'm walking here.
Yeah. I'm walking here. It's more of a Stockport draw. Yeah. So they changed the law.
They've probably got a few people from New York just to beef it up a bit. I'm walking here. Call me Monday, I'll buy you a bagel.
That's why it's called the right to roam. That's why we have loads of rambling opportunities around here. Why there's these public footpaths.
Yeah.
It's often through farmers' land.
Yeah.
And you know, you'll often just skirt around a field, won't you?
Mm.
So I think there's just this beautiful understanding of like, yeah, you can walk that way. You're not allowed to be a dick. So you don't leave rubbish, you close the gate. And if everyone does that, we're fine. And that's kind of...
That's right, yeah, just don't be a dick.
Yeah. I always like calls to mind some sort of twat buys a big mansion in the countryside and then tries to get the footpath that goes around the bottom of his garden closed off.
Yeah.
And he doesn't realise the shitstorm he's walking into.
Yes.
If you try and mess with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like this.
The sheer number of old ladies.
Yeah, that will just hound you.
Yeah. And, every single time you pop into the village.
Just people with them ski poles and all that. They will just terrorise.
In technical gear. Wearing crag hopper trousers.
Holding deeds from the 18th century.
Zipping the lower half of their trousers off in front of you.
You haven't got a chance, basically. Now, this is completely at odds with the situation I find myself in, which is living next to the train line.
Yeah.
And I'm by a whistle stop. Well, a whistle board it's called. Have you ever seen it? It's like a grey board by the train track with a W on it. And that means the trains have got to whistle. So you do. And so it is a bit mad because I like the sound of trains.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, it's sort of peaceful, like it goes on like that. It's really nice. But 11 o'clock at night, they do honk when they go past the train.
Right, because of the whistle board.
Yeah, and it's loud. It's not offensive, but you think, whoa, are you taking the pit? Why are you whistling?
Especially if you were like maybe taking your trousers down, it's like you've been whistling by builders.
You've been wolf whistled.
You were disrobing in your own flats.
By the 11:15 from Manchester.
In the privacy of your own home.
It's quite intimidating.
I'm not a piece of meat. So there we go, that was Tom. The mighty, wonderful Tom Wrigglesworth. Thank you very much for doing that, Tom. Do listen to his show every Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. on BBC Radio 4. Hope you've enjoyed that. Please subscribe on iTunes. Send a bit of feedback to @RobRouse on Twitter or podcast@robrouse.com. Everything else, robrouse.com. I'm sick of saying my own name. It's been delightful sharing this time with you. And until we speak again, lots of love. Bye.